Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Monday at 5.05 p.m. immediately after Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew, your all-round investment and trading show. And here at the Henry Rain Show, it's a weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more. And this week, what has happened? Well, Facebook's anticipated cryptocurrency white paper will be released June 18th. And then blockchain expert Caitlin Long, if you haven't heard of her before, we'll tell you a little more about her. It's quite an impressive resume, and her words are followed by a lot of people, predicts the fallout from Facebook entering the cryptocurrency space. And Tron founder Justin Sun wins lunch with Warren Buffett. And probably the most important story of the week, Andy wants to play poker with Tron's son, Binance's CZ, and Litecoin's Charlie Lee, and he needs our help. Well, let's not wait any longer. He's been branded with his theme song from the Talking Markets show, and that would be the former Goldbug one, the former... Well, he's still Andy Rule for us, but he's Andrew on Talking Markets, and he's here, and got a lot to cover today, Andy, but, you know, I think a lot of people need to step up. We'll explain to how you can do this, but just before we introduce the other panelists, there is an opportunity for an individual who will contribute to charity to get a seat at the table for a poker game with Litecoin's Charlie Lee, CZ, the founder of Binance, the biggest cryptocurrency exchange in the world, and Tron's founder, whatever you want to call Tron, Justin. So the guy is going to have lunch with Warren Buffett. I almost said Warren Buffett. Lunch with Warren Buffet. Lunch with Warren Buffett's buffet. It was just like, was it just yesterday? Because I flooded the chat group. I said, this is you, Andy.
Yeah, you know what? I'm game for it. I will actually put up at least 300,000 Tron, which is what, $10?
That's
probably what, $1,000? That's a little under $1,000.
I think it's 3,000.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get to the rational person for a change.
So you said that only proves that I'm insane. You may be right. I may be crazy. But it just may be a lunatic you're looking for.
Nobody would call him that. Of course, we call him Augie.
Hey, I listened to the summary from the previous show, and it looks like... The realities of time are catching up with people, and these trade wars affect everything. And I think the future is a part of the past, and so we're going to have to relive our past mistakes or put them behind us.
Well, we've got some topics today. It may not have sounded like that on the introduction, but some of these have some real ramifications. And one that we haven't talked about is just today, and I'll get into the details later in the show, but just as foreshadowing, that we will get to this, and it's a very serious topic beyond the headline. And one of the top three cryptocurrency news sites on the Internet, CCN.com, often take articles from them for research and use in the rundown, shuttered its figurative doors to the Internet today. Google has put out a new algorithm on their search engine. Of course, this happens periodically over and over again, multiple times throughout the year, since the dawn of Google. But media outlets from CCN, which is we use, but also across the mainstream, whether it's the Daily Mail in London or Huffington Post, they're finding their search engine results are dropping by 50 to 70%. And in the case of CCN, this just happened days ago. Their search engine results fell all the way to 71%, made it impossible for them to meet their bills, and they're just closing down. But we'll talk about that implication after we get to the story about Facebook, because that's really maybe the underlying theme. Normally we start every show talking about the price of Bitcoin. There's been plenty to talk about this week. Maybe we'll get to that later. But let's go ahead and get to the news right now.
Hey, I've got news for you.
Well, the news this week, as I said, is revolving a lot in the cryptocurrency space about these giant tech companies. And it's ironic because probably more so than any of the shows we've done in the last 2 years, this week, the opposite of what the cryptocurrency space grew out of, the anarchist, the libertarian, the cypherpunk, all that stuff that was looking for a whole new way of doing things, being decentralized, is coming up against centralization, control, censorship, and more. But let's talk first about Facebook. And not Facebook's the censorship, which there's plenty to say about there, but it looks like coming up on June 18th, we'll have more of an announcement. Now, details have emerged about the upcoming cryptocurrency. At the time of this article I'm looking at, they called it Global Coin, but I think it's now changed its name to Libra. Because I guess implying everything's fair and equal.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, speaking to German business magnate Wurstorf Walsh. Well, maybe I should call Augie in for
Wurstorf Walsh.
Yes, that magazine. That I wonder if they still have magazines in Germany, or that's just a website now.
It's Wurstorf Walsh.
Have you ever heard of it before?
Well, no.
I mean, you traveled to Germany frequently.
Yes,
I mean,
it's
not asking out of the blue.
Well, it's the Writers' Week is really what this means. Writers' Week, basically.
Hmm. All right. Well, anyway, Laura McCracken, Facebook's head of financial services and payment partnerships for Northern Europe, confirmed that the planned stablecoin will not be tied to any single fiat currency, but will instead be linked to a basket of currencies in order to prevent volatility. Now, I don't know if they meant lack of volatility in their coin or lack of volatility in the fiat currencies.
Probably their coin.
The executive also added to recent reports that the coin would be revealed, as I said, on June 18th. The confirmation comes after reports listing some of the executives said to be working on the effort. These include MIT's Christian Catalini as chief economist and Sunita Parasuraman, manager of the Switzerland-based foundation leading the token project. And there is a reason why there's a foundation there that we'll probably get into in just a second. Facebook's going to set up physical portals for users to purchase the cryptocurrency, as well as charging third parties. And now I'm going to give a pregnant pause so that you're ready to hear this number when I say that we'll be charging third parties as much as $10 million for the privilege of supporting the network as nodes, according to the information, and that's a proper noun, not the generic information that is the source here. $10 million. Now, we've got proof-of-stake cryptocurrency, which we know about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're a certain key node holders that are staked and that they have a large amount of the cryptocurrency, and it's against their self-interest to do something to damage the blockchain. So
that's probably what that is. $10 million is your entry fee. You got to buy $10 million worth of coins to have a node.
Well, that's a good way of thinking about it until we get to what Caitlin Long is going to tell us about in the next article. But, yeah, let's leave it at face value, no pun intended right there. Elsewhere, the Russian news site RBC reported Thursday that the head of oil firm Rosneft, Igor Sechin, told the St. Petersburg Economic Forum that Facebook's cryptocurrency could possibly be used in oil transactions, quote, in the near future. Now, I don't think...
Now, what is that?
The person is the head of the Rosneft oil firm, a Russian firm, it looks like. His name's Igor Sechin, and it was at the St. Petersburg, Russia, Economic Forum, not Tampa Bay. And he said it could be possibly used in the new. I think this may be aspirational or wishful thinking. Such, however, seemed to be talking generally about how big U.S. tech firms like Google, Apple, and Facebook are making moves into the energy industry. Now, I'll take this. That's one thing I will take Igor at face value, that if he says they're coming moving in on his turf in the energy industry, they probably are. I don't know if he knows what they what he's talking about, that they would be used in oil transactions. But it does go back to things that I've said over and over at this time. Like I said, I always thought it would be Amazon would be the one to move forward. But whatever these big multinationals that control the Internet world and have these dominant positions, if they get an actual currency that can be used across the platforms and across borders, they're on their way to having a global reserve currency. And having people that are willing to spend $10 million to operate a node and be part of it makes you think that there are other people that are saying this may be.
There's always been that fear, Henry. You know that. That's always been hanging out there. Now, this is a means to make it happen. Sounds like that's what you're saying.
If it's pegged to a basket of currency, you know, I don't see where the value of owning Facebook coin is, because I can at any time, unless you're, again, you're in a third world country, in this, you know, I shouldn't say third world, an emerging market, or in that, where your currencies fluctuate like India or something like that.
If you were France or Switzerland, you could go to the regular reserve currencies. You
absolutely
could hold those. But if you're Russia or Iran
or China.
Yes.
China.
That's a sort of an elephant
there
in the room, if you will.
Yeah. They almost outlawed gold there, 2015.
Well,
December.
But there's this growing connection with China and Russia. The Russian military has so advanced their military that it's questionable who's number one.
Yeah. But
I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. Yeah. But I think for, you know, if you're, you know, if you live in a place where the currency fluctuates or you have political unstable. That's where, you know, one.
You're saying for stabilization.
Well, yeah. So you can you work, you earn, you get in your local pay, and then you transfer it to. But it's the same thing doing the Bitcoin, and I'd rather still own Bitcoin. I think it'll do good for the stock. I was sitting there looking at the stock because, you know, this is, and I don't see the price movement in the stock. It's if this, of course, when does this come out? June.
June 18th is when the white paper is released.
Okay, so the white paper is released on June 18th. I'm not seeing it here.
But the groundwork, the foundation of them already talking to the Commodities and Futures and Trading Commission, to the European Central Bank, to evidently people that got $10 million laying around, which are going to be major global banks, not sovereign banks, but multinational banks that are willing to be part of this. So let's go to Caitlin Long's prediction. Now, Caitlin Long is a 22-year Wall Street veteran, been active in Bitcoin since 2012. She worked for Morgan Stanley running their pension solutions business. That was 07 to 2016. Jumped to blockchain because of problems she saw there. She was chairman and president of Symbion, an enterprise blockchain company. She volunteered in her native state of Wyoming to enact a series of enabling blockchain laws, which have come to pass now, and is why so much of the blockchain industry looks to her for her insights, because she has basically brought Wyoming into being the blockchain point of innovation for the U.S. And she's a gubernatorial appointee to the Wyoming Blockchain Task Force. And we could go on with more of her resume, but let's not. Let's go to what she's talking about with Facebook. Now, according to the reports, they're going to launch this across a suite of platforms, including Messenger and WhatsApp. So that gets to the payment aspect of it all, similar to China's WeChat. So by making it into payments, you know, they're getting into every part of your life. So her first prediction is that Facebook's cryptocurrency will be a powerful force for good in developing countries, which is where Facebook intends to market the product. Now, I would say that that's a little bit of hopeful thinking, but I think she is right in that developing countries is where this could really take off, where Facebook already has a presence, probably stronger than the local banking system, and it can easily be adapted. adapted. And, you know, she uses examples of Venezuela, Weimar Republic in Germany after World War One. So, okay, so that, I don't know if any of you have a comment on that, but that sort of is where we've talked about things before in the past. It's with Bitcoin, as you just said. Brazil now has become a big user of Bitcoin.
I think those, you know, that's where there's a lot of demand for it, and I think you'll start to see, you know, increase. And that's where Americans have a hard time getting grips around. I have a lot of friends who are like, it's just a, you know, it's a Ponzi scheme. But I'm like, that's because your currency is stable. But, you know, we're a small percentage of the world's population, and even in Europe, they got currency issues. I mean, they have some pretty extreme currency issues. So I Facebook coin against the basket of currencies or Bitcoin? Bitcoin.
Well, here's where her second prediction really takes a big leap and would be a real game changer. Facebook will pay interest to holders of its cryptocurrency. And she then subsequently predicts that will lead to populist calls to repeal corporate subsidies to the banks at the heart of the U.S. banking system. Well, she's a hardcore libertarian. So, again, that might first part B might be a little wishful thinking. Let's look at part one first. Why would they pay interest? So because the assets will generate interest income if, according to reports, the baskets include low-risk securities as well as a basket of currencies.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Low-risk securities. Like treasury bonds,
Facebook stock. I don't know. Well, you know, whatever they have backing this Facebook currency, let's give it for talking purposes that they will be assets with value, and pegged to a basket of currencies.
Okay.
Well, so if Facebook doesn't share these interest spoils with the users, according to her, of course, critics will loudly publicize how much money Facebook and its partners are pocketing. Okay, well, I think Facebook probably has the wherewithal and internal fortitude to hang on to their money and not give up on the calls for this. But if Facebook parks the entire U.S. dollar balance at the Federal Reserve via one of its bank partners, these people that have the $10 million laying around to become a node, it would earn 2.35% risk-free. Now, this article is a few days old, and, you know, interest rates have come down a little bit.
It's all over now.
Still, that's $235 million for every $10 billion deposited in its cryptocurrency. Profits will quickly turn into a new hot potato for Facebook politically if not shared with the users. Well, the banks that are ponying up the $10 million may have something to say about that, too. Anyway, that interest number is the actual interest rate the Fed pays its member banks for interest on excess reserves, called IOER, and it's projected to amount to $36 billion, her words now, of corporate welfare paid to U.S. banks, which equates to roughly half the amount the U.S. spends on the food stamp program. So, she says, just imagine how critics will have a field day shouting about corporate welfare for Facebook at the expense of name the program that helps people that people think should be helped. Well, so, anybody got thoughts on that?
The anchoring of all this stuff is, or the proposed anchoring, that is to say, is what this is about. If you're going to make something worthwhile, the element of trust is the underlying hope and wish. So this is what this is, and the Facebook, since it's big, it must be good, is the attitude.
Yeah, you know, I think you have two challenges. One is obviously the banks. They're not going to be happy about this. So I don't see, you know, because they're trying to push their own stable coins.
It's a competitor. I mean,
they're trying to push their own stable coins, and that is the future. I think the future stable coins. The other big is all of the regulations that you would have to go through because you are a publicly traded company.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be a bigger hurdle than most think, because who runs all of these government regulatory things? Goldman Sachs. And I'm going to go right back to Goldman Sachs is not going to allow this to happen. I think it's, and there's no need for it. There's absolutely no need. Is all Facebook has to do is accept Bitcoin, just like any other.
They don't control Bitcoin.
I understand. Well, they don't need to. And is, if you want a deflationary currency, I mean, to buy a. Here's the challenge I see. First, from the SEC,
the securities thing.
If you're going to have something that's pegged to treasuries and dollar indexes, you got a lot of fuzzy stuff there. I think you have to work that out. I don't think it's as easy.
And they're talking to the Commodities Futures Trading Commission now.
And who runs that? Goldman Sachs. So I see there's a lot of hurdles there. So I think this is, and I'm not seeing it in the price. If this was actually coming to fruition and it wasn't just talk, I think you'd see that
only
in Facebook's
eight
price.
Days away. And I have to say that I think the randomness is not the date that they chose. I think that is very specific. They chose it for the day after the next Talking Markets Henry Raines show broadcast. And they are want the news to die down before the WWPR financial power slot.
Yeah.
It has a chance to take a shot.
I think if this comes out, you know, if you want to play it, you know, buy some Facebook, you know, maybe buy some calls. But it could go to 250.
We have
four
more predictions here to go.
But I don't see any need for it. I think you have.
You don't see any need for it, but Facebook sees a need for it.
Facebook sees a need for it for publicity. That's the only thing they want to do.
And the idea that anything in Facebook's history gives you the impression that they would give up power or control over something.
Or you wouldn't be giving up something in return.
Yeah.
Your privacy and everything
else. Her third
else.
Prediction.
Their product is data. So.
Yeah.
Her third prediction, well, right now it's just data.
Right.
Allegedly.
And it's going to be more data that we're going to talk about in a second. Facebook's foundation will grow to garner big power in global capital markets. Facebook plans to cede governance control of its project to an independent foundation. So there we earlier mentioned foundation comes in. We, you know, it's independent. They're just doing what's good for the general public.
All that goodwill, huh?
And it was formed in Switzerland, which where all goodwill comes from.
Well, now.
Okay. All right. She sees this as a positive. Not only does it give Facebook defense against antitrust allegations, but it reduces the degree of cryptocurrency centralization. Now, the foundation is likely to become a huge power within global capital markets relatively quickly, if all this comes to be, because it will do what central banks do, which is to define basket weights for the fiat currency to which the stablecoin is pegged and manage assets to ensure the peg doesn't break. There's plenty of powerful basket setters in capital markets, and their power to move markets can be significant. Think of the committee that defines components of the Dow Jones Industrial Average Index or the S&P 500 Index or central banks that peg their currency to baskets of currencies such as China's People's Bank of China. All right. I'm just going to run
now,
through.
When is this release?
18th, week from tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow. So that is, all right, so.
All right. Let me get to these other.
I'm buying the 190. I'm buying the 190 calls on Facebook for a whopping 20 cents. Because
it's trading
out,
at what,
it's
175
really
right
news.
Now?
Huh?
It's trading at 175 now.
It's trading at 170. So 190 is not a far stretch.
What expiration date?
Huh?
What expiration date?
That's the 21st. So it'll be 2 days after the announcement.
And you're buying it for 20 cents.
And buying it for 20 cents. If it gets 200, it's $10. 20 cents. You're risking 20 cents to make $19.80.
Uh-huh.
You know, go for the long shot. That's how you play it.
It's not Talking Markets, but your pick of the week, right?
You're the pick of the week. Facebook. Go long on calls. And I never buy calls, but
you get to talk about that on Monday, too.
Huh?
You get to talk about that on Monday, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Facebook will face regulatory uncertainty, which will shed light on many outdated financial regulations in the process. Well, I don't think there's much to argue about there. Facebook's regulatory reporting program will open up all kinds of interesting discussions. We may be about to find out how Facebook's 2.3 billion users are real, how many are real, since they don't necessarily have to be right now. Also, it's going to, speaking to Augie's point about their business's data, well, they now have a whole new layer of data. You know, it's not like banks that report when you deposit $10,000 of cash now. They know where you bought your cup of coffee.
Yeah, I know.
Everything. Governments everywhere will use Facebook's cryptocurrency as a huge honeypot of data about how users spend money with all the privacy and tax reporting implications that implies. Now, especially when you go to terrorism, because Sigal Mendelker, our Undersecretary for Terrorism and Financial Intelligence, said, when FinCEN analyzed millions of dollars of remittance transactions with suspected links to terrorism, it found they averaged less than $600 each. In an era where a radicalized suicide bomber can bring a tragic end to the lives of hundreds for nothing more than the price of duct tape, of vests, and supplies, we cannot afford to allow any money to flow to terrorists. So they need to know how many duct tape rolls you buy. They need to know what kind of vest Augie is buying. They need to know
what kind of beer I buy.
And where you buy it.
That's right.
Which, you know, some of these convenience stores may be a little suspect.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you know,
if you lose your cell phone, as I did a few days ago, how do you find it?
But there's an app for that, and if you've activated it,
I say that is, I went to Best Buy and they located it.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And so all they had to do is know the number. So everything, this data,
absolutely. That's like we did the Ringer doorbell.
Yes.
That was scary.
Well,
speaking
of that, we'll have a quick follow up here right after this last thing. And Facebook cryptocurrency will turn out to be a Trojan horse that benefits Bitcoin. Well, I think we already said that. So anyway, a lot's happening to your privacy, to the control of your life, and the exact opposite of what the people that originally were pro-Bitcoin, pro-cryptocurrency were hoping was going to happen.
Yeah.
One thing while I'm thinking of it, because Augie brought up a phone, and we were talking last week with Leonard about SIM swapping on your phone and how that's one of the ways people hack cryptocurrency. If any of you are using Telegram, and this can go to the other supposedly secure private message applications. Well, Telegram, you know, it's based on your phone and your phone number. And normally, like, we have a little chat group for the show here. Crypto is like 8 people on it, whatever the last count was. You know, I don't care that Augie can see my number on the chat group because he already has my number, and so do you, and vice versa. But I belong to some pretty big discussion groups on Telegram. And maybe other people listening, or you do, or some of these. Well, that people can join these other groups, like Bitcoin Bravado is a group, I don't know, 20,000 members or something like that. I didn't realize that they can look at my profile and find my phone number.
No.
So you go in for Telegram anyway, and it's probably similar to do on WhatsApp. You go to settings, and you go to privacy, and where it says telephone number, you click it to nobody, which means nobody can see your cell phone number. And so, but I mean, that would be a great place to mine, like the 20,000 cryptocurrency fanatics following Bitcoin Bravado.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, none of them own Bitcoin.
Yeah, find out where their phone. Once you get their phone number, you're halfway to stealing their phone number.
Wow.
All right. Let's go to a break. We'll come back on the other side with what Google is doing to disrupt free speech and media in general and your cryptocurrency news. You're listening to The Henry Rain Show. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Bite Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Bite Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Bite Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Bite Federal ATM near you. Go to BiteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's BiteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Rain Show. If you enjoy the trading and investment ideas you hear on Talking Markets with Mark and Andy, then you're going to want to become a member of their SeekingCryptos.com membership service. And you can join for absolutely free. When you sign up for a free membership at SeekingCryptos.com, you'll start receiving analysis and perspective by email on trade examples, cryptocurrencies, stocks, metals, educational content, and exclusive offers. SeekingCryptos.com has something for you advanced traders, too. Check out the premium membership, the expert swing trades, or the quant geeks packages. Seeking Cryptos has skin in the game just like you. They post their trades in real time, and you can follow the results right on their portfolio page. So what are you waiting for? Go to SeekingCryptos.com and sign up for your free membership now.
Alcover Massage has been providing quality massage therapy in Bradenton for over 5 years, and we are proud and excited to announce we've expanded our practice and boutique to a larger facility. Located at the historic downtown Bradenton, we're in a charming craftsman-style building across the street from the Spring Hill Suites by Marriott. Alcover Massage offers many treatment rooms, a spacious lobby, and doorfront parking spaces just for our clients. But what we're most proud of is our highly qualified massage therapists offering great service to our valued clients. Availability and instant booking is found at lauraalcover.com. Alcover Massage. Like us on Facebook, 204 13th Street West, Bradenton, Florida, 34205. Book your appointments now at lauraalcover.com or call us at 941-592-3187. MN number 34081. MA number 50525.
It's all the way up. It's all the way up.
Henry Raines Show here, WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Monday, 5.05 p.m. to 6 p.m., immediately after Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew. The aforementioned Andrew, a.k.a. Andy, is in the studio. Augie is in the studio. And you can also share this show with your friends. Just have them Google Henry Raines Show, and they'll find a podcast platform where they can listen to it, iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, et cetera. Before we go into the Google story, just quickly, hopefully we can get to this quickly, because Andy said Goldman Sachs rules the world, more or less. And they also are a backer of Circle Pay. Circle Pay has lots of other backers, including, I think, Bitmain and some other major cryptocurrency companies. But they bought Poloniex about a year ago. And that may not have turned out quite the way they planned. And certainly the management of Poloniex is probably thinking things haven't turned out quite the way they had hoped. Crypto exchange Poloniex revealed in a post Thursday, last week, that lenders in its Bitcoin margin lending pool suffered a loss of 1,800 Bitcoin, roughly $13.5 million at current market prices, not enough to put them out of business, to a flash crash, not in the Bitcoin market, not in the Ether market, not in the Litecoin market, in the clams market. And not the mussels, not the seafood, the clam token. CLAM is the symbol. That was on May 25th.
What is the clam token?
It's not proof of work. It's not, I've never heard of it before this story.
Me neither.
Not proof of work, not proof of stake. It's called a proof of chain token. And they, I don't know, about a year ago maybe 2 years ago when everything was bright and sunny in crypto world, they decided to airdrop it to every address they could find. 4.6 clams were airdropped into Bitcoin, Litecoin, other addresses, something like
Fred Flintstone coin?
3 million, that's the wampum coin.
Oh.
The 3 million addresses, something like that, received it. So, I don't know, I guess there's 12
or
13.
How did Poloniex lose money on the clam?
Well, it wasn't really Poloniex once it all shakes out. Poloniex's peer-to-peer margin system includes both lenders and borrowers, lenders of which are pooled together and awarded an interest for lending out their funds. So their clients are lending their funds. Bitcoin, which is like, compared to clams, Bitcoin is dollar. As dollar is to the Venezuelan currency, Bitcoin is to clams.
Okay.
Anyway, they borrow the margin funds being lent. He or she must hold a certain amount of collateral to provide a level of certainty that the debt will be repaid at a later date. Well, the collateral was clams. So they borrowed Bitcoin to buy clams, and the clams were the collateral to pay the Bitcoin back. On May 26th, the margin tradable clam market dropped by nearly 77%. Imagine that.
I can't imagine.
We're talking cents, but
yeah.
You know, it's still 77% in value in just 45 minutes on Poloniex, causing a flurry of liquidations designed to cut losses in order to repay the lender. However, the speed and the magnitude of the crash was too severe for Poloniex's automatic liquidation system to function properly, resulted in an 1,800 Bitcoin loss that is yet to be repaid to the lenders.
Oh.
In a post, Poloniex said the velocity of crash, well, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we're going to do our best to fix this. I'm paraphrasing. And in total, they erased 16+% of the entire margin lending pool and affected about 0.5% of all the Poloniex users. Anyway, not to worry, because they are taking steps to remove the
clams.
Margin from other illiquid markets such as BTS, CLAM, FCT, and MAID. Who margin trades on those?
You know what? That's just $16 million on clams. You know what? They deserve what they got, because any brokerage, okay, I can see leveraging Bitcoin.
Backed by Goldman, come on.
You know, okay, I can see leverage Bitcoin trade. I can see leverage Litecoin and Ethereum, maybe even Bitcoin Cash. But you start your leverage Tron trading, leverage clam trading.
Tron leverage trading would seem so much more reasonable than clam trading.
I would hope so. Yeah, because it doesn't have very far to go to zero. I mean, it's so close. It's like skimming the runway.
Well, we said we had another story about big tech companies controlling our lives. Cryptocurrency news site CCN, not CNN, CCN.com is shutting down, experienced a 71% fall in mobile traffic due to a recent update to Google search ranking. Founder James Borchgrevink, he's not Irish, posted the news on his site saying CCN was founded in the summer 20... Oh, this is another long thing. Anyway, although Coindesk and Cointelegraph have been friendly competitors for the past 6 years for the number one Alexa spot in regards to cryptocurrency news, they are shutting... CCN is shutting the door. The site began as a cryptocurrency-focused news source, and it all came crashing down after what Google called its June 2019 core update, an update that Google claimed was designed to improve our results. Not sure what the results they're trying to improve are. Most have, this is a quote, most have little noticeable change but help us continue to incrementally improve search, wrote Google's search liaison on October 11th of 2018. The update apparently has also dinged sites like the Daily Mail, and leading to speculation that it is content-driven, as in focused on conservative news outlets. The actual data shows that it's hitting people on both sides, any place except the middle.
Which is wrong.
You know, I don't know if you've ever employed a search engine optimization company, and you'll ask them, well, you know, why does this do that? And they'll be like, oh, that's the algorithm. And you're like, and then you dig a little deeper. Well, what's the algorithm saying? It's, well, that's a secret Google doesn't really reveal. And then you find out there is, in the trade of that industry, search engine optimization, there's articles in trade magazines that they don't want to tell you about, because then you'll go read them yourself and start to, you know, implement them without paying them their $1,000 a month or $10,000 a month or $3,000 a month, whatever it is. But this was sudden, and without any kind of previous precedent. You know, they've gone through, these companies have gone through many of these algorithms updates. And just, I got to scroll way down here, but some of the other ones, as I said, outside the cryptocurrency world. And the thing is with CCN, it happened last week, and they're out of business now. You lose 71% on your advertised-driven media, you're gone.
You're gone.
Daily Mail of the United Kingdom, they had a 43% loss in their search results. In other words, them becoming put, being their articles being put forward to somebody who searches for a topic or some other kind of search. We have Huffington Post. I saw that one here somewhere too. That was, well, I know when I looked at it, it was in the 40% drop also. Some of the other ones that I'm looking at here are probably not real familiar. Vimeo.com, the video site. Now, we can speculate. Their drop is only 17%, but does that mean YouTube was a little higher? Yeah. Vimeo fell to the third page or something?
Yeah. I think that is the great power of something like Brave, and we talked about that earlier. Brave browser, basic attention token, and I think some of these, I never gave them a real big chance, but I think with what's going on with social media and these outlets, and they're starting to become judge, juror of, free speech and what constitutes free speech and what constitutes, aggressive nature such as, I'm going to kill you or, when it steps over that line where it's a directive, go out and shoot him, as opposed to I don't like him, well, if I don't like him because he's, blah, 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 and that person gets upset, next thing you know, they're canning you. I think you're going to see a big move to some of these decentralized platforms like Brave Browser. And the other one, like Theta, which is coming up with their own YouTube. I think there'll be a big movement towards that. And that's one thing that the government can't stop, is they cannot stop a decentralized thing because it's working on everybody's computer.
I need to correct myself because actually Huffington Post comes up in another chart here, and they actually had a 44% gain in their search results. But then I look at a couple of these others that would be like the Daily Mail's direct... Daily Mail, if you haven't ever looked at it, it may skew conservative, but they're really a celebrity kind of website. What's the princess doing? What's Kim Kardashian doing? You get all... there'll be like 30 different celebrity stories when you pull up the page. But The Sun is like a very sensationalist... A sensationalistic website, and they have even bizarre things like the sex robot stories and stuff like that. And I never actually go on it because they tell you right off they're going to be tracking you with cookies. I'm like, I don't like you to track me on the sex robot story. Anyway, but
we already have.
The Mirror is another one similar to that. They got 54% gain. So it doesn't really matter if this time it was deliberate, because you never know when it is deliberate.
Well, they also introduced, instead of just doing the algorithms, which was supposed to be all AI, was supposed to do all the... Now they are actually putting people in charge of that. So the AI gets it out to the person, and then the person does the final decision. So you're not even getting true algorithm searches anymore. It's the person goes, you know what, I don't like that. He goes to the bottom of the list. And that's what's actually happening right now. Is when after the whole thing came out with Crowder, when they did with Crowder, they've actually revised how they do the algo searches. So now it's not just algo, the AI bot, gives you the content that, the AI bot thinks you should get. It's a human going, he really needs to read this.
And it's not just one human, because they have thousands of these
people. Yeah.
So
how does bias not come into that?
Anyway, the responses Mendez, that was from the Daily Mail, got, they received reasons from the website layout, as the advertisements were being clickbait titles.
Exactly.
Who doesn't see that when they're going online?
Yeah.
Anyway, one of the things that I've mentioned on the
show. New York Times is still on there, though, right?
Well, it doesn't say one way or the other whether it went up or down. So, but the thing is, that has a certain, that's going to have its own population that goes to it. Some of these things can sustain themselves. Others rely on searches to get there.
And that's what they're doing.
Yeah. But I know I said it a few months ago, because back like 2004 to 2009, in the very first incarnation of the show, was called American AM, and it was Morning Drive. It was before MSNBC. Keith Olbermann got his first show. MSNBC existed, but before it became politically point of view with Keith Olbermann and then the other shows that followed it, there wasn't really any place to get left of center news. And I was able to use the search engines, and it would be Google, to pull stuff all over the world. And, you know, they'd be putting in topics. And I noticed lately, last couple of years, for my own searching of news, trying to update myself on things, all of a sudden places that used to come up don't come up in the search list anymore. And then when I complained about it or went to look for them, then they started coming back again, and then it sort of fades away. I don't know exactly how it works, but it's a real problem. And, you know, people can say, well, we don't want the white supremacist stuff out there, or we don't want the black nationalists out there, or we don't want the vaccines out there, or we don't want Alex Jones, or this or that, until it's just all compressed into this little world that the internet first came around.
That's the thing. Who decides that?
Well, you just eliminate whoever might cause a problem.
Yeah.
Anything that might cause somebody to complain.
Yeah. You know what? What they need to do is they need to issue big boy pants. When you get your first computer, it should come with big boy pants.
And one of the criteria I just saw recently that's being proposed is to eliminate websites that float conspiracy theories. Well, that are easily disproved.
Well,
who decides that?
How would the Washington Post and New York Times ever survive?
Well, that's
I'd say YouTube is probably your most likely.
Pardon me?
YouTube is noted for that sort of thing.
Yeah, but the point is,
who cares?
I mean, well, the other part of that, the other flip side of this is when you express interest, they keep showing you more radical things. So at the same time they're taking it away, their algorithms are trying to get you to watch more.
Well, let's do this. Let's say, for example, you have Discovery Channel and they have their Ancient Aliens.
Right.
Nobody can prove that. So what do they get? They get knocked off? Here's my theory on the whole thing. You know, they got the NASDAQ line, Ninka lines and all these things that were supposed to have been built so that when the aliens came, they knew where to land. I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, these guys, they went through time travel and space and folded universes and everything else, got to the Earth, and then had to have a man-made object to figure out where to land. So they should be automatically off. I just disproved it. That's what I'm saying. I mean, where do you stop it? If people
clock back 10 years. You know, those vaccine, say the anti-vaccine sites, or the 9/11 conspiracy sites, or the whatever sites are JFK assassination sites. You know, you would go and you would search for those and you would find them. But in that 10 years, there became this process, whether it was Facebook or Google. Oh, you liked this one about the Bay of Pigs. How about this one about the aliens with JFK? I'm exaggerating.
Absolutely.
But they kept moving you. Oh, you like stories about the Confederacy. Well, how about these people, these Confederate patriots in the modern day? How about these people with the Dixie flag? How about, you know, and they move you into the more extreme people, the extreme sites, as opposed to just letting you search.
Censorship. And
when they're doing
I'm against the censorship, but I'm also saying they created the problem too.
I don't know. I mean,
they're directing you with when they don't present you with real facts and they make them up along the way. That's not censorship. That's
why. Forget about the last election. That's why fake news. Like I saw this thing about. The boxer Mayweather gave money to Houston people in the last hurricane. All right, so that's one of the few things that I've bought into where I forwarded it without really doing a double check on it. Because, you know, maybe he did something like that. That's a nice story. But it was fed to me because I look for stories like that, and it was fake.
It was fed because you watch fake news channels.
No, it was fed to me because I look at charitable work.
Exactly. But it's the whole point, you know.
It goes to intent, I'm sorry.
I don't think so.
It does.
You know, you remember the commercial, and he goes, "Oh, it must be true." I saw it on the internet, and the guy goes, "Here's my friend. Here's my boyfriend. He's a French model." I mean, you don't. If you believe everything you read in the newspaper, you believe everything on the internet, you're probably just susceptible to it. But most people don't.
Well, when years and years ago, when this whole thing was beginning, we had a friend who thought she knew something because she went on the internet. And it happens I have a pretty good background in art history. She was citing things that were supposed to be historical. Now, that's based on lots
of... Well, we've gotten
stuff.
A long way from the fact that...
But the only thing happened was garbage in, garbage out.
You know, whatever caused the problem, we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater in this reaction to it. State... tune for whatever comes after us on this station. I'm sure it's great programming, and we'll be back next Monday, right before Facebook changes the world of currency on the Tuesday after our next Monday show.